You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Philippians 3, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Paul said, "I've not arrived. I've not reached the mark yet. I've not claimed the prize yet." He says, "I've not yet apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." And in case that is not clear, Paul really summed it up and he really nailed it in verse 14, because he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'd like to challenge you for a few minutes. We're going to be in Philippians 3. I'd like to show you a few verses, give you a few thoughts on this subject, pressing for the prize. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray that we would not miss what you have for us in this session at this time. Lord, I'm so excited for these young people that they've had the opportunity to be a part of a conference like this. Every activity, every competition, every meal, every part of the schedule has just been so phenomenal. And Lord, I pray now in these few moments that you'd speak to us, give us what we need from the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Young people, I want to encourage you to press for the prize. Number one, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a few words to jot down. I think you'll be able to remember these. Number one, if you're going to press toward the prize, there must be some rejoicing. Would you notice with me in Philippians 3, verse 1? "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That's the theme of this book. You know why some young people will not claim the prize and they will not cross the finish line? Is because they've lost the joy of their salvation. I want to tell you, young people, you ought to be the happiest people in the world if you know Jesus, if you're a part of a youth group and you're part of a church and you're doing something for God. I want to tell you, your greatest days ought not be here and now. Your greatest days ought to be ahead as you serve God. Sweeter gets the journey every day. I'll tell you, I had a great time as a teenager. I had a great time in Bible college. I had a great time as a youth pastor. I had a wonderful time and privilege to serve here at Golden State Baptist College for 9 years. But I will say this, it gets better and better and better. I've been a pastor now for 7.5 years in North Carolina. God has blessed me. God's blessed my wife. God's blessed our children. God has been so good to us. It's the greatest life. Nobody's having to come on Saturdays and twist my arm and say, "All right, you got to get out there and preach on Sunday." Oh no, it's a privilege. Do you know what it's like? Remember when you were in school just a month or so ago, or maybe basketball season a few months ago? Do you remember what it was like, fellas? Ladies, maybe played volleyball or basketball or some other sport. You remember what it was like on game days? I tell you, for me, I was so excited to play sports. I probably did not do well on those school days in my classes because I was so excited to play. I just couldn't wait for the game. That's all I was thinking about all day. I can't wait for the game. I can't wait to get out there. Can't wait to play. I used to feel sorry when I was in Little League in Rockford, Illinois. I remember one year in Little League, we had a boy on the team and he did not want to play Little League. His mom would drop him off for practice and all, you should have seen him. He'd get out of that van and he would drag his feet. He did not want to be at practice. He didn't want to play. He was doing it because mama made him practice and mama made him play. I want to tell you, I used to get so excited about playing sports and get so excited about getting to be a part of those competitions. And young people, I hope you got that same intensity for running the race for God. I hope there's some rejoicing. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the strong man rejoices to run a race. There's something inside of him. He says, "I've got to run this race. I've got to give it my all. I'm excited about it. It's a privilege and it's a thrill." So many Christians are depressed. So many Christian young people are miserable because they're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. It's like Pastor Reynolds has been preaching. It's like Brother McKay has been preaching about, because of sin, you have not been able to have the joy and the rejoicing that God wants you to have. I want to encourage you to get things right with God. I want to encourage you to have the joy of the Lord in your life, in your heart, in your youth group. Let God give you the joy that comes from serving Him. Number one, I see in this passage, if you're going to press for the prize, there must be rejoicing. But number two, I see there must be a realization. The Bible says in verse number two, there's a warning. It says, beware. There's some things you got to watch out for. It says in verse number three, have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I know these other preachers have said it. We heard Pastor Treber say it yesterday, but I'll echo everything they've said. I'm not up here today because of talent. I'm not up here because of ability. I'm not up here because I'm smart. I'm not up here because I know how to do things. I'm up here today by the grace of God. And if God can use me, and if God could call me to preach as a 15-year-old boy from Rockford, Illinois, I came with my youth pastor, Brother Mark Swanson. I came to a youth conference, and I just said, whatever, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And can I tell you, you can't put confidence in the flesh. If you're counting on your athletic ability, your good looks, your academic skills, if you're counting on your personality, I want to tell you, the arm of flesh will fail you. Can I tell you, you must not put confidence in the flesh. And Paul says, there's a realization that I can't do anything unless I have Jesus. I can't do anything by myself. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing. And young people, if you're going to press for the prize, and if you're going to finish the race, and if you're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's not going to be in your ability. It's not going to be in my ability, but it's going to be through the power and the grace of God working in you. Number one, I see the rejoicing. Number two, I see the realization. Number three, I see quickly there must be a relationship. We've been talking about it a lot, and I just believe this is what God would have me to say today. But your relationship with Jesus Christ is what's going to determine if you run the race or not. Your relationship with Jesus is what's going to keep you going when it gets difficult. Can I tell you, Philippians 3, verse number 8, Paul says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to have a knowledge of Christ. But look at verse number 10. Paul said this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Young people, do you know Jesus? I didn't ask you if you know about Him. I didn't ask you if you memorized verses for the Bible Bowl, although those are good things. I didn't ask you what was your grade in Bible class this last year in school. But I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Because if you'll know Jesus like the Apostle Paul, and if you'll walk with Jesus, you'll be able to press for the prize. You'll be able to run the race that God has for you. Can I show you number four? There is a race. This is not just casual running. This is not just purposeless. This is not meaningless running, but there is a race that God has called us to run. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark. Paul said, there's a reason why I'm running. There is a goal. There is a finish line. And Paul said, this is a race. And in a race, you must give all. Can I tell you, when you're running a race, you're not worried about the people in the stands. You're not worried about the other runners. You're worried about one thing. You're worried about keeping your eyes on the finish line. I want to encourage you, young people, today. I want to encourage you to get laser focused on serving God. I want to challenge you today to not be distracted by all the things that Satan loves to bring in front of you. And Satan loves to try to get you off track, and he likes to get you out of the race, and he likes to get you to point the finger and say, and give excuses for why you can't run the race. But I want to encourage you to get focused on the race. A few years ago, I was getting ready to fly up to the state of Washington to be with Pastor Munoz, and I told him this story when I got there a couple years ago. But my wife and I, we live in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. It's a beautiful little city, and we live in a very nice neighborhood, just a couple doors down from the church, and we don't really have crime and that in our neighborhood. You got some dogs that bark, or you got neighbors that like to fire off gunshots, and fireworks and all that, but that's about it. But it was the middle of the night, and I'm a pretty heavy sleeper. You know, I usually sleep pretty good. My wife, on the other hand, she can hear like little creaks. And she's probably watching, and I'll pay for this when I get home. But sometimes she doesn't even hear anything, but she thinks she hears something. And if she hears something in the middle of the night, fellas, you know what your wife is going to do? She's going to wake you up. And you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, if you want to know what that noise was, go check it out yourself. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But it was 2-3 in the morning, and my wife woke me up, and she said, Jeremy, did you hear that? I said, no. And I closed my eyes, and I'm going back to sleep. She nudges me again. Did you hear that? I said, no. I said, what did you hear? She said, I think I heard somebody knocking on our door. And I listened, and I'm thinking, yeah, she's dreaming. You know, she's imagining things. And sure enough, Brother Russ, Brother Flood, I'm laying in bed, and I can hear on our front door at 3 in the morning. But it was very soft. It's not like somebody trying to wake you up at 3 in the morning. It was very odd. And I thought, okay, well, my wife's not losing her mind. There is somebody knocking at our door. And then you're thinking, who in their right mind is knocking on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning? And again, it's a soft tap. I'm thinking, this is odd. Yeah. Then we start to hear voices out by our front door. And we think, well, that's not good. That's not what you want to hear at 3 o'clock in the morning when people should be asleep, right? When people should be at home and all that. And so I begin to listen. And you know what I'm thinking? It's no big deal. I'm going back to bed, right? Well, then we heard, and I don't know how I can make this noise up here, but we heard a on our garage door. And there's knocking, and there's like a rattling of the garage door, the door to come in the back of our garage. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not tired anymore. I am wide awake right now. And I'm no longer dismissive. And I'm sure my wife was like, it's about time you take me seriously. You know, I've been trying to tell you. Wake up. And so I'm out of bed. Not only am I out of bed, I'm grabbing the shotgun. And can I tell you, I'm grabbing the shotgun and I'm loading the shotgun. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And so again, I'm thinking, well, they're going to go away. Maybe somebody's just messing around. You know, maybe some teens playing a prank. Teens don't pull a prank like that. That would not be good. And it gets quiet. And I'm at the top of the stairs, and I've got this shotgun that is loaded, but I'm not thinking I'm going to have to use it. I'm praying I don't have to use it. But I've got my wife in the house. I've got, at the time, we had our four children were in the house. They were still sleeping. And all of a sudden, I hear from our back sunroom of our house, I hear the loudest smash you can imagine. And all of a sudden, it got real, because all of a sudden I knew they weren't outside tapping. They weren't outside shaking the door. They just broke in the back of our house. It's 3 in the morning. And if you think that this is a joke, I'm 100% serious. I am not joking with you. This is exactly the way it happened. You can call my wife or message her and she will tell you. I probably didn't even give you all the details. I probably just kind of cut it short. And so I'm at the top of our stairs. All of our bedrooms are on the second level. And I'm at the top of the stairs with a shotgun loaded. My finger is on the trigger. My wife is calling 911. And I'm hearing her say, we need somebody to come quickly. We had somebody that just broke in our back door and they're in our house. And all of a sudden we hear that smash. And I'm thinking, there's no way. We hear voices. And we hear somebody in our house. And I'm at the top of the stairs. And can I tell you, at the top of the stairs, nothing in the world mattered except what was going on in my house. Right. Nothing else in the world mattered except for taking care of my wife and my girls and thinking, if I have to use this shotgun, I will use this shotgun. Now, some of you are, I was talking to some folks from Pasco earlier, and you're good. You use guns all the time and all that. I don't shoot guns a lot. And so for me, this was not something that I normally do. You know, I'm not, you know, working law enforcement, SWAT teams and all that. And I'm at the top of the stairs. I've got this shotgun loaded. And I hear somebody in the house, and I'm still hearing voices. And I'm thinking there's more than one person. And I'm at the top of the stairs, loaded shotgun, and I start yelling. I say, get out of the house! Get out of the house! You know, and that to me, doesn't that sound intimidating to you? Well, the person in the house was not fazed one bit because that person kept coming. And I'm hearing footsteps on the wood floor downstairs, and I'm thinking, this is not good. Can I tell you where my focus was? My focus was on the bottom of that staircase and who I was going to see and who I was going to have to pull the trigger and shoot. As the person continued to come through the house, I could hear the footsteps. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking they're not trying to rob anything. They're not trying to sneak in. They are in the house, and I've got my gun trained at the bottom of the stairs. My finger is on the trigger. The safety is off. My wife has called 911. And all of a sudden, I see at the bottom of the steps, I see a hand reach out and grab the staircase. And can I tell you, Pastor Wallace, I was a split second away from pulling that trigger. Yes, I believe it was only the Spirit of God that kept me from pulling that trigger, because I saw that hand. I was right there. But I thought, I got another second, because he's got to come all the way up the stairs. And I waited that second, and as that figure, and it was dark downstairs, but as that figure came around, I could tell by the way that person was moving. I could tell it was an elderly person. And I held off one more second from pulling that trigger. I'm still yelling, get out of the house! Get out of the house! And that face from the bottom of the stairs looks up. It was our neighbor, who we did not know. We found out after the fact just a few days earlier. He had had an auto accident, and they figured that he had dementia. And they didn't know it. He was living by himself. He had wandered through our backyard and through our fence. And he had wandered to the back of our, or the front of our house, and then wandered around the side. And I'm still holding a loaded shotgun with my finger on the trigger. And I'm saying, get out of the house! And he looks up, and he says he was looking for his wife. His wife had been dead for 20 years. And the dementia had just completely taken over. He looked at the loaded shotgun. It didn't faze him one bit. And I had to hand the shotgun to my wife and walk down halfway the stairs. And I had to take hold of him and work him back down the stairs and get him back down there. Can I tell you, I almost had to pull that trigger. And I thank God I did. Because it was somebody who was not trying to harm us and all that. And you understand all that stuff. But young people, here's the illustration. Here's why I'm telling you that. Because in that moment, it didn't matter the kind of clothes that were in my closet. It didn't matter the kind of furniture that was in the house. It didn't matter what kind of car was in the driveway. It didn't matter how much money was in the bank account. There was one thing that mattered, and that one decision could have affected somebody's life physically. But young people, I want to tell you, you've got a decision that's even more important than that. You've got a decision that's going to impact eternity. And Paul is saying here, he said, I'm not distracted. I'm not looking here or there. I'm forgetting everything else, and I'm pressing toward the mark. You must run the race. You must forget the past. You must be firm in your purpose, and you must be focused on the prize. I want you to see, number one, there's rejoicing. Number two, there's a realization. Number three, there's a relationship. Number four, there's a race. But quickly, I want you to see, number five, there is a reward. The reward in verse number 14, it says the prize. But can I tell you, the prize is not a trophy. The prize is not a plaque. The prize is not riches untold and treasures beyond compare. The prize is found in verse number 8. Would you notice with me in Philippians 3? In verse number 8, Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, the prize is a person. The motivation is not a trophy, it's not a crown, it's not a mansion, but the motivation is to hear our Savior say, well done. The prize is Jesus. The prize is standing before him someday and saying, I gave it my all. The prize is standing for Jesus and hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My dad is in heaven. He's been in heaven for 5 years. My mother-in-law is in heaven. She's been in heaven for 10 years, 11 years. Both my father and my mother-in-law, on their gravestones, there is one verse. That verse is 2 Timothy 4:7, where Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Young people, I want to challenge you to run the race. I want to challenge you to keep your eyes on the prize. I want to remind you that the reward is Jesus. God told Abraham in Genesis 15:1, he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I want to tell you, you're going to press for the prize and you're going to run the race and you're going to finish your course with joy. If you will realize today that it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about a church, it's not about a conference, but it is about Jesus Christ. He's the one that's worth serving. He's the one that's worth living for. And if you're going to press for the prize, you got to be in it for Jesus. There's a reward. The Bible says in verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've heard it through this conference, but the calling of God is such an important thing. You see, God calls you to get saved. If you're here today and you've never been saved, the call goes out. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a call to be saved. But can I tell you, there's also a call to surrender. And maybe there's some young people here that's where you're at. You're just still battling. You just haven't yet said, yes, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Maybe you've said, yes, I'll do this or I'll do that. But friend, I want to tell you, when you surrender to God, you say, God, wherever you lead me, whatever you have for me, I will say yes. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, send me. There's a call to get saved. There's a call to surrender, to just say, yes, God, whatever you want. And then I believe there's a call to serve. There's a call to serve God. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pastor Treber, he just talked about it. He just said right now, there are churches everywhere saying, we need a pastor. We need a youth pastor. Can I tell you, there are mission fields around this globe that are begging and pleading and saying, would somebody please come and give the gospel to our people? Young people, I want to tell you, the prize of the high calling of God is when you say yes to do whatever God wants you to do. The Bible says it's a high calling. It's an honor to serve God. It's a privilege to serve God. The Bible says we have a hope, or we have a confidence in our calling. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that we have an holy calling. God's looking for a holy, separate, pure vessels that he can use for his work. And the Bible tells us that we are partakers of a heavenly calling. I wonder, young people, what you have done with the call of God. I wonder what you have done and how you have responded this week. Have you said yes to salvation? Have you said, yes, God, I will trust you. I'll put my faith and trust in you and I'll get saved. I'll be born again this week. God wants you to be saved. He's already done all the work. Amen. It's a gift that you must be willing to receive. But what about the call to surrender? I wonder this morning how many young people would say, whatever God wants me to do, I'll say yes. Amen. And then lastly, the call to serve. I wonder today if there's any young men that God's calling you to be a preacher of the gospel. I love what Brother McKay said, and these men would agree the same. We're not here to guilt you into it. We're not here to talk you into it. If you have to be talked into surrendering your life to serve God, you're probably not going to press for the prize. But I'm talking to those that the Holy Spirit of God's been working on you. and you're in the youth group, you might be a great young person in your youth group, good example of serving God and all those things, but maybe you have not said yes to serve God in the way that God is calling. If we're going to press for the prize, we must answer the call of God to serve Him.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.